Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had the ability to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." Jumping down to verse 8. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Heavenly Father, once again, we open the Word of God, hoping to see Jesus as we read it. Help the people to understand what I believe that you have given me to say. Give me strength to preach it. And please bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Daniel opens with God's people being taken captive out of the land of Israel and from the city of Jerusalem. They're carried away captive into Babylon. Babylon is in modern-day Iraq. And if you were listening last time, we gave some of the backstory, starting in the book of Genesis, really, giving a history of God's people. God called of certain people out of all the people of the earth to be His people. And He put His name upon them. He gave them His laws. His presence was among them, the cloud by day, the fire by night that we read about in the book of Exodus. These were His people, the Jews, and He said He wanted them to be separate. But God's people, they say that they love God. They say that, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow You." But again and again and again, the Jews and Christians today will be drawn aside or tempted aside and fall back into certain kinds of sin. And one of those sins is the sin of idolatry. That's how God's people ended up captives in the land of Babylon. They had fallen into idolatry. God had said again and again and again to forsake the idols, to forsake Ashtoreth and Molech and Baal and what have you. He sent prophets. He used the kings to speak to them. The law constantly testified that they should abstain from idols. But they refused to listen. And eventually God had enough and He had them carried off captive, hundreds of miles away, or however far away it was, to a foreign country, in service to a foreign king, a king that worshipped idols. What we find here in the verses we've just read, that certain of the children of Israel, it says in verse 4, "Children in whom there was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, etc. That these certain people were appointed to stand before the king, to minister to the king. But the king chose certain to stand in his presence. And in verse 6, we see who they are. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, who this book is named after, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. Now again, these are Jewish boys, but they're in the land of Babylon, and they speak a different language in every different country that you go. And in this case, they speak Chaldean or something of that nature. So these boys were renamed, unto whom the prince of the children of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah Shadrach, and unto Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. We know these names, Daniel, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see Daniel through the entire book, but these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these are familiar names. And we'll see these three children, teenage boys or whatever they were, in chapter 3. But it says in verse 8, remembering that the reason that they were there in Babylon to begin with was because of idolatry, habitual idolatry, chronic idolatry over hundreds or 1,000 years, however long it was. They would not submit to God. They fell back into idols. On every high hill and under every green tree, it says in the prophets, they sacrificed to idols. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor of the wine which he drank. Now it mentions that they were supposed to eat this meat over a period of 3 years, and at that time they would be strong enough or nourished enough to be able to stand before the king. You see, they were slaves, and slaves do not get the best meat. They do not get the best food. They may get some porridge or something, or perhaps half-rotted vegetables or something. And I don't know how many months or years that these boys had suffered in that manner, but their health had gone down. But the king and the chief of the eunuchs said that they were supposed to eat the king's meat, the same steak or pheasant or whatever that the king ate. To eat from the king's table, in other words. They were going to be working in service to the king, and they were given the privilege of eating good food. But you see, there was a problem. In all cultures of the world, there are different gods that are worshipped. And quite often, one of the ways that gods are worshipped is that there's a sacrifice that is made. An animal is killed in a certain fashion, maybe his blood poured out. Perhaps, as we read in Exodus and Leviticus and what have you, maybe it's something like that. But there's some sort of sacrifice made. And in order for pagan people to commune with their God, they would then eat the sacrifice after it has been roasted. And this is a common practice in the world today. It was a very common practice during the time of Christ, and when Daniel was around, and even before Daniel, and really throughout the history of the world, throughout the history of mankind, men have forsaken God, worshipped false idols, false gods, and made sacrifice to them, and then eaten meat that was sacrificed to those false gods. The prince of the eunuchs intended to fatten Daniel up and his three friends. But the food offered was offered to idols. And Daniel realized that the reason why he was there in a foreign country, a slave, was because of idolatry back in his home country. And he decided to follow God. He decided to trust the Lord and not partake of the meat offered to idols. So Daniel approaches the guy that's appointed to watch over him and his three friends. And he says in verse 12, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and give us pulse to eat, or vegetables or something, and water to drink. Prove thy servants." He's saying here that they want to trust God. They want to remain pure and not eat meat offered to idols. And they put their fate in the hands of God and said, "For 10 days, let's eat vegetables. For 10 days. And if it looks like that we're nourished, if it looks like that we're getting along a little bit better, then let us continue to eat these vegetables. But if this doesn't do it, and if God isn't with us and on our side to help us to abstain from idols, then at the end of 10 days, if we aren't improving, we'll go ahead and eat the meat that you provide." You see, today, we can trust God. We can choose to follow God and go God's way, and God will see us through. If we stand upon the Lord and His Word, He will deliver us. He will help us. If we are on God's side and stand with Him, then He will be on our side and stand with us. Verse 15, "And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat." Not only did their health not go down, but their health improved. Their skin tone improved. Maybe their hair was shinier or something. And in fact, they were looking healthier than the guys in the next cell who were eating the meat and the wine and what have you. And I believe that this is a miracle that God did for these four boys. They chose, instead of eating meat, to eat vegetables. They purposed in their heart to not eat meat offered to idols. Now you and I both know that meat is more nutritious than beans or lettuce or something. Now we need meat, we need vegetables, we need both. But it's obvious that meat has more protein, more energy packed into it than perhaps a banana. And it stands to reason that someone that is eating a balanced diet, meat and vegetables and bread and milk and what have you, they're going to be stronger and more nourished. But Daniel and the three Hebrew children decided to eat only vegetables. But in 10 short days, it was apparent that they were more nourished than the other guys that ate what the king provided. Today, if you or I decide to stand for God and do without, perhaps, then God will see us through. God will be for us, and God will help us. But in verse 17, "And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." This first part, knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, that's more of a humanistic thing. Maybe they understood geometry or whatever math they had back then. Maybe whatever science that was common during that day, they were able to pick up easily. But it says Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That's not a natural thing. That's a supernatural thing. Now, everyone has dreams, but Daniel had understanding in dreams and visions. We'll see in the next chapter that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he couldn't understand what it meant, and he figured it was from God, but he didn't understand it. But Daniel sought the Lord, and God gave him understanding. But as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill, and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding, and all visions and dreams. And verse 19, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of him, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. These four boys stood for God, and God nourished them supernaturally. But he gave them supernatural wisdom and understanding. Now there's more to this. The king found them to be 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers. These were the counselors that the king had that were not Jews, but they were Chaldeans or whatever. But they were astrologers. They were stargazers. They tried to divine the future. They tried to understand and perhaps use wisdom to advise the king. And again, this was a pagan culture, and they would look into the spirit world and perhaps make some sort of magic or incantation to try and figure out the future. Today, we would call these kinds of people fortune tellers or astrologers or something of that nature. And most people today would think that that's superstition or foolishness or something. But in the time of Daniel, the king took it seriously. The king wanted to know what to do, or what was coming up next, or what should he do in preparing for a battle against some other country. Again, that was a common practice during those times. But these four children, God gave them genuine wisdom, genuine understanding from God. Daniel was a prophet of God. He's here in the Bible, and his prophecies are true. Everyone knows about or has read about or heard about Nostradamus, for instance. And some of the things that Nostradamus said came true, sort of. But he made many mistakes. But in spite of his mistakes and the things that he got wrong, many people still think that he's a valid prophet, or fortune teller, or seer, or whatever term you want to use. But God knows the future. God knows the future. God created heaven and earth. God created time. God says that he sees the end from the beginning. And a good portion of the book of Daniel is God's revelation of the future, and how it applies to God's people. Pagan gods aren't real. Pagan gods are not true. They're false. And the religions that surround pagan idols are false religions. But God exists. God is real. God is true. And God is with us, if we will trust him. He gave us his word, and we can know the future. And furthermore, out of all the different gods that have ever been worshipped, all the different pagan idols, false gods, whatever, the Mayans, the Aztecs, Shinto in the Far East, or Buddhism, or Islam, or you name it, all of these religions are false. The only true religion is Christianity. The only true God is the God of the Bible. The only true wisdom comes from His Word. And the only true foretelling of the future is to be found in its pages. You can trust the God of the Bible, and you can trust His Word, this book that I hold in my hands, the Holy Bible. You can trust it. It will not lead you wrong. And again, we have the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. He found Daniel and his friends who trusted in God 10 times better than all of these astrologers and magicians and fortune tellers and soothsayers and what have you. You can put your trust in God, and He will not lead you wrong. And you can put your trust in Jesus Christ, and He will see to it that you make it to heaven.
Was dark in my heart, you brought light to me, a child of darkness became a child of light, and when my soul and I needed drink, the water of life, you became for me. I'm the Alpha, the
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.